Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you in the Dallas studios. And this is the week following the U.S. Open. So all the drama is kind of the air's let out of the balloon a little bit. Until we turn the corner, and there'll be a Masters is right around the corner, and a lot of other great golf tournaments. But that was one that I think everybody's building up for, and the excitement, and the tournament gave everything that people expected of it, a very, very tough wingfoot golf course, and a great champion in Bryson DeChambeau. And the way he did it is what we're going to be talking about a lot today. Our guest is going to be here in a few minutes, Art Selinger, world long drive champion, and involved with long driving forever and ever, and certainly Bryson has taken advice from not only Art, but other long drivers that do that for a living, not play PGA Tour events, but long driving, and to get his philosophy, his even the loft of his clubs. He's now going to, Bryson, go to a longer shaft, which Art will talk about the advantages of that too. Can Bryson actually hit it further? And even to the point of where Bryson is versus other pros. We kind of think he's out driving everybody by 50 yards. Art's going to say, that's not really the case, and his driving was not in his mind what won the U.S. Open for Bryson DeChambeau. So Art will be along with all his hot opinions here pretty shortly. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios with his hot opinions. But I look forward to it because, as we know, Frank, we've had Art on a bunch of times. He's not shy. He'll tell us what he thinks and exactly why he thinks Bryson DeChambeau humbled Wingfoot and the rest of the guys at that U.S. Open.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see. Good morning, Tim, by the way. I'm anxious to see what Art has to say because it was, you're right. He wasn't the big behemoth everybody thought he was, although it was huge. Matthew Wolf outdrove him a lot.
It's a different way of hitting the ball.
And so
for Bryson, it's dramatic because it looks like a moonshot. Right? Yeah. I mean, Art will talk about this. It goes to launch angles and all the different biometrics that go into it. Bryson will hit over a bunch of trees, whereas if that's possible and for a guy like Matthew Wolf to be able to not go over those trees but stay low and get a different trajectory but still get more on the ground than in the air, the distance is still the difference. And that's why he's going to say, Art will talk about, well, you know, Bryson's not that much longer than Cameron Champ and DJ and some other guys, maybe by 2 yards here and 5 yards there and whatever, but it's not like we kind of imagine it. It's just the way he hits it is a very different kind of a look of the ball. And on top of that, the fact that he just goes for it on almost every hole, whereas still a lot of these other guys will kind of strategize and hit some three woods and some hybrids and different things. It's almost like Bryson has to be told not to hit a driver, which is what's exciting, right? Doesn't matter what the hole is, what it looks like. I'm going to hit driver. Unless there's an ocean about 350 yards in front of this tee box, I'm going to hit driver. Yep.
Well, you know, the other thing is he played the angles the whole week. And I haven't listened to the other shows. I didn't want to this week. All the reviews of Bryson and the U.S. Open and Mike Davis retiring in 21. Yay! And all that stuff. But I didn't on purpose, because I wanted us just to throw our opinion out there. Then I'll go back and listen to those shows and see how we are compared to them. But he played the angles. His approach shots into the greens were, they all gave him, basically, until he made a few mistakes, but gave him the greatest angle coming in, the most green to work with. Get it on the green and make a couple of putts. Maybe get lucky, make a birdie. So I'm anxious to hear what Art says about that. That'll be interesting. So
because it's also that Bryson's thought was, and seriously, he did hit from a lot of roughs, as we know. After his tee shot, he was not always in the fairway.
No.
He wasn't often way, way off, but he was still in that thick rough, and that's where everybody was saying, oh, that's where Wingfoot's going to get you. You miss those fairways. And yet Bryson was like, I don't care if I miss the fairways. I've got a wedge coming in, and I can get through there. And he did. He would come out of those, and his basic goal was, DeChambeau, get me on the front of the greens or middle of the greens. Yes, I maybe can't go for the pins like a normal tour event or if I'm in the fairway. But if I'm down there far enough without having to hit a 3-iron off the tee instead of my driver and I've got another 50 yards, I'm happy to hit my...
Sure.
And by the way, his wedges are as long as his 6-irons and his 7-irons. Remember, his clubs are the same.
Oh, yeah.
He's got longer wedge, and Art will talk about that too. The leverage he gets with that longer wedge shaft than he would with a normal. There's all kinds of different things that go into this, and Bryson is not short on experimentation for almost anything, from his putter to the way he holds his putter to the length of his club to everything and everything. Everything is got a reason for it, and he's thought it out and tried it and tested it, and actually. You're going to be surprised, I think our listeners will too, Frank, by where Bryson went immediately following the U.S. Open Championship. As soon as he won, you would think a little trip to New York City, a couple of steakhouses. I'm going to celebrate a little bit. This is a pretty a career-changing event.
Life changer.
It's going to be very – where did he go? And Art's going to tell us where he went, what he was doing shortly after winning one of the biggest prizes in all of golf. So that kind of tells you the mindset of Bryson DeChambeau. And also, we're going to talk about the personality, too. I mean, there are people, certainly Frank, and we've talked about this, that aren't crazy about Bryson DeChambeau. They don't like him. They don't know him, but just his personality. They don't kind of like the way he carries himself. We've seen him sometimes have problems on the course where he gets upset like everybody kind of does. But sure. Bryson's now in a Tiger world of there are cameras everywhere, right?
Yes.
And so it's different. If a guy on the tour acts improperly at different times, a lot of people would never know about it. Unless you're following, you wouldn't know. But now the cameras, and that's why Tiger would get ripped on sometimes for cussing, right, for spitting, for doing different things. You're like,
at least,
and sometimes it got kind of minor, but that's because there are always eyes on him. He's Tiger.
At least he didn't spit in the cup like somebody else did when he got married.
Yeah, I know.
Remember that one, Sergio?
Yeah. But that's the thing is if you get good and you get recognized and you become that celebrity kind of where DeChambeau is now and you get a lot of eyeballs on you, those eyeballs are sometimes going to be critical too because they're going to catch everything. And so that's the Art's point that he'll talk about. You know, that's why sometimes people don't know him, but they don't like him because they think he is going about it the wrong way. Well, we're seeing every minute of every stroke of every walk down the fairway and everything he does is now under a microscope, and it's a different kind of world. We'll see if whether DeChambeau changes or not, but that's just the perception of it.
He's validating his idiosyncrasies right now is what he's doing.
Sure seems like it.
He has certainly validated it. And, you know, I remember at Eastlake a couple of years ago, we were standing there, and, you know, we all know Bryson, and he knows us, right? But there were several other media people standing there behind me, and we're watching him putt before the first round. And his caddy came over and said to the folks, said, excuse me, could y'all just kind of step away? Bryson doesn't like to be watched when he's practicing.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that set off a storm in the media center. Oh Lord, they went after him on that one. They said, fine, then just go to the mini tours.
I'm not gonna in any way say I would justify everything he does or anybody does. I mean, we're all gonna have moments in different times, and I think Bryson can be cold sometimes about that and not maybe fully understanding, even though he's an NCAA champion and a U.S. amateur champion and whatever, he's had success certainly even in younger years. He's going to have to understand that access from the media standpoint is all part of the game. I mean, they're going to be around. And if you're practicing, they're allowed to watch you practice.
And don't
you
know, piss
you may
the
not
media
like
off.
It, but don't, that's,
yeah.
Well,
don't,
yeah. What,
don't you, piss you, them off because they'll come after you. I mean, they will.
Sure they will. There's no gain. There's no gain there. I mean, if you think you need to practice without eyeballs watching you, I would totally agree with the media or anybody else that says, well, then go play somewhere else. You're a professional golfer on the highest, biggest stage in the world. Playing on the PGA Tour, we're going to watch. That's kind of what pays the bills. We talk about it. We spread the word. People come. They pay money. Sponsors come in. That's all part of it. That's how you get the big paycheck. So unless you're going to start turning down money and say, well, I don't want the money. Okay. Then maybe we won't get the eyeballs on you. But I haven't seen an athlete do that yet. You know?
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Leave me alone, but keep paying me a lot of money.
Okay.
So we'll
you
also
have one.
We'll talk a lot about the U.S. Open, but we'll also throw a few things in there about football. This week,
football,
and college football, and all that good stuff.
Your Titans too. Your Titans are looking good.
2-0, baby. They're 2-0. I've got my fingers crossed, but you never
looking
know. We've just got a hell of a quarterback and a very consistent kicker. Thank you. Won the last two games for us. Thank you. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on. So, anyway. It's going to be a fun show. It's
all right, let's take
again,
a break.
We did not listen to everybody else's shows on purpose because we just want to voice our opinion, voice Artie's opinion, get some questions into Artie, and then not be cookie cutter like everybody else. By the way, before you go to go to break to go get Art, thanks to Spider Miller, Walker Cup captain, twice Walker Cup captain, and played in the Walker Cup at an advanced age. Great amateur golfer. He is a purist. He's the closest thing to Bobby Jones, I guess, we had in the amateur ranks. For being on the show live from French Lick this past week. Had a great time, Tim, by the way, at French Lick. Got to play the Pete Dye course the first day in 25-mile-per-hour winds up on top of Mount Airy.
Lucky.
There were a lot of people talking a lot of smack up there. It was a mess. But it was a lot of fun, and anyway, just thanks to French Lick, one of our sponsors, and Brendan Sweeney and Dave Harner. Dave Harner got me out on the range, spent about an hour with me, so he'll be getting a gift in the mail. He wouldn't let me pay him, so he'll be getting a little happy, but he straightened out a few things of mine that I was doing wrong. Dave's a great teacher, so if you have a chance to get up there, and all the guys up there are great teachers. They have a great Callaway Fitting Center also, so... Again, thanks to French Lick, it was just a lot of fun. Donald Ross course, Pete Dye course, Tom Bendelow course, and of course the bar, of course. So had fun, and the Friars. Thanks to the Friars. So
perfect. You had a good time. All right. Well, Art's on his way to Waco, Texas, for the Texas Senior Amateur that he's playing in, and he's now got his amateur status back. So he's looking to play in some tournaments. He's going to be heading down there to tee it up tomorrow. Got a practice round later today, so we're going to catch him on the way between Dallas and Waco. So we'll take a quick break and dial up Art, find out what's going on the way to Waco and a lot of other things when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll be back with a lot more right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. And we were talking about what happened last week at the U.S. Open. Historic in a lot of different ways, and certainly in the way Bryson DeChambeau attacked the course and went after it. And the level he could play at a course notorious for high scores at Wingfoot. First guy ever at a U.S. Open that they've had there, now six of them, to ever play all rounds, all four rounds, at par or better. And nobody's ever done that before. And a lot of reasons for that, and a lot of people bring up the long driving and the ball going so far and so high and the driver and everything else with Bryson, but there was more to Bryson's game and certainly his win at Wingfoot than just the driver. And with us, as we talked about in the first segment, Art Selinger joining us now, heading down to Waco for a little golf of his own to talk about Bryson and Wingfoot and everything else. How you doing today, Art?
I'm doing fantastic. Boy, he has been the topic of discussion everywhere, and I love that he's the topic of discussion. I love it.
Yeah, I bet you do. As a matter of fact, if we go back a little bit, certainly Bryson's been around in the Dallas area here for a long, long time when he was just a scrawny little 185-pound junior senior at SMU, winning the U.S. Amateur and the NCAAs, and went through a lot of success, then decided just within the last year that part of what he had to do was get longer, hit the ball, different arch launch angles, whatnot. And looked at and talked to a number of long drive guys that you've been around and brought up through the ranks in the past years about what they're doing and how they swing and their swing speed and the length of the driver and the loft on the driver head and on and on and on, and got into all the science of it. And now we see, I guess, the results. He certainly has had good results before this, but now the ultimate, winning a major and winning the U.S. Open. Just in a general sense, Art, the way that DeChambeau kind of took apart Wingfoot in a way that a lot of people thought shouldn't be done, couldn't be done, and yet he did it. How did you feel about the results on Sunday when you watched what he did?
Well, I loved it. Number one, he put 20 miles an hour of ball speed on his game, so he went from kind of the low 170s. He's always had a gear to now the low 190s, and hitting it far becomes, you know, a technique thing. It became a body thing for him, putting on that much mass. It becomes a mindset, teeing it high, hovering it, going to a 5-degree driver, which in essence he plays about like a 9, and then just going for it, creating that much more swing speed, taking his swing speed up some 15 miles an hour. So, but he made a choice to attack a golf course and take risk when everybody else shows up to a U.S. Open. They get in safety zone, and he went in aggressive zone. Again, Tony Finau, Matthew Wolff, and these other players, Gary Woodland when he's healthy, they can hit it as far as Bryson can. They really can. Again, Bryson's got some gears. You saw Matthew Wolff sneak it by him several times at a little lower ball speed because he's flighting the ball down. But Bryson went to a long drive technique, and again, I love that he just said, I'm going to attack this golf course and hit it as far as I can on every hole and take my chances, because those fairways are so hard to hit just with a three wood. Might as well hit driver. And again, everybody else had this mindset, let me try to just keep it around par or a little bit worse and I'll be fine. And but who's talking about how well he putted? Who's talking about how well he chipped?
Yeah.
Who's talking about how well his mental game is, how calm he is? But the putting was so impressive, more impressive than the driving to me. The putting and the wedging and the mind control is impressive. And let's just go back, guys, 20 years. Let's remember how far Tiger hit it compared to everybody. What was his mindset? He was so tenacious. He was Mike Tyson with Jack Nicklaus tactician, of the, you know, the way that he conducted himself on the course, maneuvering the golf ball. But he was viciously aggressive off the tee, and we should not forget where he was in relation to all the other players. And this doesn't mean the rules need to be changed. Rory said it. Rory can move it out there near him. And Rory just said, I just don't attack you. I never saw the golf course to be attacked this way. So Bryson is brilliant. He put together a plan, and it worked.
You know, what I said to Tim earlier before in pre-show was when I went back and rewatched and looked at the angles that Bryson set himself up for coming into those greens, giving himself the most green to work with after those massive drives. I mean, he tactically took that course apart, basically, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was incredible. And there's, Art, speak to this, though. When he was coming out of that, every time he went into the deep rough, Dan Hicks or whomever would say, oh, he's in trouble now. Uh-oh, this could be bad.
Right.
And he pulls his wedge out and just rips through the hay and sticks it in the middle of the green. 90% of the, or I say 90%, the higher percentage of the time than not.
Yes.
And
yes.
What does it mean to have a wedge that's the length of a 7-iron?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it. The arc is definitely a little bit more, you know, he's so steep, he's so vertical as it is because he's a single plane guy, very close to the golf ball. He has such strength to be able to hoist the ball so high. And again, I think it means a lot. Bryson has tried so many unique things over the year. Let's not forget, first player to play out there with single length irons. He's gone from 150 gram grips to 50 gram grips, X700 shafts to X100 shafts, side saddle putting to regular putting to cross-handed putting to now arm lock putting. He's constantly trying to get better. I told Tim last night, where was he the day after he won at 10 o'clock Mountain Time? In Colorado with his trainer saying, get me stronger, get me better, get me faster. I've witnessed the training sessions at Dallas National. No, but he's just continuing. Why do people not like a person that's constantly trying to change and get better? I think it's fantastic. But back to your point, he knows how to hoist that ball so high, and the rough didn't bother him. But Frank, again, I told Tim this last night, if he had an average putting week, he would have shot even par. He putted so beautifully. But I love the aggressive mindset. He's won at some fabulous golf courses, Memorial. You know, he won, of course, at Wingfoot. I feel par at Wingfoot was about 292, you know, and he shot 274. That was a very hard golf course. And incredible stuff. And there's more coming. There's more 180 plus players coming. It's just the way the game's going to be played.
Well, speak to Matthew Wolf also, because Matthew, like you said, took a different trajectory attack.
Yes.
And sticks the ball. I mean, Matthew Wolf is a big stick.
Huge. Yeah. He used science over violence. He used the ground. 12 launch, 2,000 spin, and he was able to chase the ball. So what happens, everybody, is if it's downwind, let's say 5 to 15 miles an hour, and the fairway's somewhat soft, Bryson's 30 by Wolf, maybe 40. If the fairway is firm and there's no wind, they're pretty much going to be together. So there's two ways to get the ball out there, through launch or through using the ground with low spin. Rory can move it out there. So it's not like he's winning because he's 50 by everybody, I promise. And let me go ahead and address this situation. World champion Kyle Berkshire could fly Bryson DeChambeau by 50 yards. So it's not even a factor, because Berkshire's 225 ball speed and Bryson's 195. But Bryson's going to break out a 48-inch driver. I spoke to somebody at Dallas National, the club fitter there, who's witnessed this from day one. And Como is a genius for what he's done, studying the technique. This gentleman's words were, "You haven't seen anything yet. He's just getting started." And I love that. I really think it's pretty cool. But remember, at one point, Zach Johnson was only 5 or 6 shots back. And how short does Zach hit the golf ball?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You know, we're joined by Art Selinger, 80 yards shorter.
I'm sorry, Art. I just want to reintroduce you. Art Selinger, former long drive champion, on his way to Waco to continue his amateur career after a big gap in the middle there. But back to Wingfoot and what Bryson was doing and his new length. You worked with Webb Simpson in the last year or so to get some extra length and did it. I think you said that Webb was getting an extra 10 or 12 yards after you guys worked together. And you would have thought that a guy at that level, a Webb Simpson or any of these top 100 players or tour players, would kind of had all the keys. Obviously, you taught Webb something that maybe he didn't know. Are there a lot of other guys out there that are doing things, Art, from a long drive standpoint? You know the game of golf, but you certainly know long driving, that they should be learning from this and figuring out different launch angles or how to do it. The club length, you're saying, from Bryson going from, what, 46 or 47 to 48, you were saying to me the other day, that could add another 12 yards to him just by adding some length there. Are some of these other guys not getting that? Are they not seeing what you can see and what Bryson's seeing and what Como sees?
I think they are seeing it. I got a call from a local pro who's on the Korn Ferry Tour, Matt Gilchrist. Tim Cusick, a top 100 PGA teaching professional, called me and said, "We'd like you to look at Matt and see if there's any power leaks." And I found Matt probably 15 yards, did it the other day over at Steve Johnson's practice tee here in Dallas. And, you know, with Webb, he was leaving some on the table, and he went from 175th in driving distance to 100, and he's 6 yards away from being 41st. These players know they need another 10, 15, 20 yards because they know the advantage of hitting a ball so far makes golf easier. It's all that's to it. But you also notice when there was a hazard in the middle of the fairway, Bryson hit an iron off the tee. It's not stupid. He did hit some three woods, but when he can hit driver, he's going, and he's going to live and die by something that gives him a distinct advantage. Look how far DJ hit it. Hey, let's think back. You know, we haven't talked Koepka for a good year, okay? Do you remember the bombs he was hitting?
Oh, yeah.
And he's not even optimizing. So this is where the game is. I had a player walk in off the street from Fort Worth getting his mini tour career started the other day. Right out of the gate, 128 club, 183 ball. Just another player that just got out of college. It's so commonplace right now. So, you know, like Matt Gilchrist wanted to be 175 ball speed. I think you have to be to compete, unless you're just so precise. There'll always be a place for Colin Morikawa. There always will be with somebody that good. Xander Schauffele, sneaky long. Rahm can kill it. So this is the game. But Bryson, I think because he's so unique and we watch him grab those books right afterwards, that's the way his mind is set. He's so analytical. It's hard to relate to. It's like watching Rain Man play golf. I think it's fantastic. I do. I'm the father of a son who has Asperger's, so their minds think so different, and Bryson just is so dedicated and different. But look at the two golf swings that were 1 and 2. Look at Matt Wolf's swing, and look at Bryson's swing, plus all the other things. You don't have to have the cookie-cutter, best, plain Adam Scott golf swing to win. It's you have your unique ways. But power golf started with Tiger Woods. Before that, it was Nicklaus. And it's here to stay. And the USGA just needs to get out of the way.
Well, Mike Davis has announced his retirement in 2021. So.
Good. Go design golf courses.
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
I'm glad Mike's going to go do that. We had that conversation with Spider Miller the other day on the show. About the Hall of Fame and Fuzzy and the USGA. And well, you know Spider. He's outspoken as hell.
I do.
He's a great guy. I had the opportunity, Art, to play golf with him a couple of times at French Lick. And what a player, even at his age now. He's 77, I think. Oh, God. Well, the guy, what was he on the Walker Cup team at 49 years old? Hello?
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal.
But he had his opinions about the USGA and about the World Golf Hall of Fame and how they've treated Fuzzy Zeller. But he also had his opinions about golf today, and he said it's power golf. It's a game that they didn't play in their day. So,
well, Art,
look at this athlete. Look how strong he is. Look how big he is. It's, you know, you can roll the ball back. He's still going to do the same thing. Yeah. Just a little different. Who cares about score? So one guy broke par at the U.S. Open. What does it matter about score? You know, you keep taking away the par five. You know, they just this golf. You know, it's just golf. It's just the athlete. It's the evolution of the game. How fast 100 years ago did somebody run the mile, and how fast they do now? How fast did they swim, and how fast does Michael Phelps swing?
I heard Spider, we were talking later, he said, I've got an idea. He said, if you want to just have some fun, he said, they've already put a no-dimple ball in front of tour players and let them hit it, and the most they could get it was 150 yards. He said, take a golf ball, print Pro V1 on it, and have it be the original Bellotta 100 compression ball and put it on the tee for them and watch what happens when they just overswing at that thing. What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Side spin? Are you kidding me? It would be.
You can't really back it. I mean, nowadays,
you can't.
Again, we're joined by Art Selinger. It is where it is. I mean, it's out of the bottle, right, the genie. So people like distance, and it doesn't matter if you're a 50 handicap or you're on the tour. Distance is fun. Distance is what everybody's going for, and that's okay. And people are getting there. And as you've said in the past, Art, the rules are or should be different for tour players than they are for the average guy. If you want to put it up on a tee in the middle of the fairway and you have fun playing the game of golf with your buddies on the week, go do that versus what these other guys are doing and following the strict rules that they have to follow, which may be a whole other subject. But to the point of the power part of game, we all seem to like that. Even Bones McKay was saying, if he had a young son today, and Art, I'm curious what you'd say, if you had a 10-year-old son, wanted to play golf, 8-year-old, and said, hey, I want to get into it, Bone said, the first thing I tell him is swing as hard as you can. Tee up a ball.
Absolutely.
Swing hard, and then we'll start working backwards from there about how to get accurate, how to do all these other things. But you've got to be able to pound the ball off the tee. Would you agree?
Every junior that comes in my shop and the parents watch the fittings and I hear them in the background and the parents say, hey, slow it down, swing easy. I pull the parent out into the lobby of my shop and I say, hey, you're welcome to watch, but the advice you just gave your child is the worst advice I've ever heard in my life. I want your child to swing as hard as they can as long as they don't fall down. They need to know what speed is quick. Let them go. I want them killing the golf ball, smashing it. And yes, we'll find it later. Because you know what? At the end of the day, at the end, after the DNA is in, it's really hard to teach speed. You know, from a body standpoint, but from a mindset standpoint. And when I grew up, me and my brother, we didn't have lessons or whatever. We tried to hit it as far as humanly possible. We didn't know what we did. And I ended up being a long drive champion, my brother long in his own right. We just tried to hit the ball as far as we could. And that's just all that's to it. So yes, the young person has got to just smoke the golf ball. The equipment complements it. And this is just the way it's going to be.
Hey, Art, before we let you go, and we've got a few more minutes here, I know you're headed to a golf tournament. We'll ask you about that in just a second. But also going back to Bryson and what he's into and what he's developing, part of that is his personality, and you and I talked about that, that he comes off as abrupt and he comes off as a little bit harsh to some people, and his personality has ruffled a few feathers. Your thoughts on that about Bryson, who's constantly working things and maybe doesn't have the thoughts about politeness or anything while he's playing a game because he is so into what he's trying to do and to be better. But you defend him and you're saying, okay, let's take it easy on Bryson. He's a good guy. If you get to know him, you get to meet him. And let's not be so critical of what we're seeing on TV in these little snippets.
He is just got a different mind. He's wired different. He's just not wired like your cookie cutter Stewart Cink, and nothing against Stewart, but you know, they're just different. He's not wired like Davis Love. Just remember how intense Tiger was. Remember all the tantrums and the F-bombs and just how intense and the club throwing and just how pissed off he got. You know, Bryson is just wired different. And so he's just not the cookie cutter interview that Matt Wolf is. He's just mind is different. Why don't we embrace a different mind that doesn't work like the normal mind? His mind is different. He thinks different. And I think he's got a heart of gold. I think he's got big emotion. You saw it when he saw his parents right there. Yep. He's worked so hard. He's tried so many different things. I talked to him probably 6 months ago at Dallas National, a 3-minute talk in the back of the range in the hall there by his training bay, and couldn't have been nicer. And he looked at me, he goes, Art, I got to get back to work. I'm on a tight schedule. And, you know, just we look at these people and we go, you know, so is it my goal to say, hey, he blew me off. He's really an idiot or something like that. Let's not forget Faldo and that mentality, ooh, Curtis Strange and that mentality, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Sure. These guys are intense. They're winners, but they're all cut different. So, yeah, people need to give this guy a break. Do you remember, real quick, the video at the British Open, how upset he got that night when he couldn't find it? I mean, this guy wants it so bad. And he's not resting on his laurels. Who wins a championship like that and doesn't go on a bender for 4 days? The guy's in Denver the next day trying to, you know, power lift, for God's sakes. I mean, he's just, the mind is incredible. Yeah. He's unique. Embrace it and respect it.
Yeah, it's very different. But you're right. I look forward to it. That's the whole thing now is he's now become that guy that you want to watch, whether it's your favorite or not. You want it when Tiger's in a tournament, when Rory, and when Bryson DeChambeau is in that category now where, boy, if he's in a tournament, I don't care if I normally wouldn't care about that tournament. I'm going to watch. I want to see what Bryson's going to do and what he's up to. And you're right, from the green all the way back to the tee box. It's not just his big drives. It's everything he's doing. There's some science behind it. There's something going on, and it's going to be fascinating to watch, hopefully, for the next several years. What about the breakdown of his body? Art, is there a chance that that could happen?
He's got the best team. Yeah, he's got the best team around him. So, but it's frightening to me to see him swing as hard as he's swinging. And is something going to break down? But, you know, look at the Masters next month. Sorry to change it real quick, but think about it. Right. How does everybody play number 10, Frank? You know, they try to squeal a 3-wood, turn it, and get it around the corner.
Yep.
He's going vertical over those trees left. That's all that's to it.
Yeah.
So it's a mindset of how he's going to play that hole. He's going over the trees on 5. He's going over the trees on 2. He's going to play it different, and that's okay. Yeah. These guys all choose to play conservative, and he's going to play aggressive. I do worry about the body. I'm not an expert in that field. I'm sure, again, with his trainer and the biomechanical genius that Como is, that hopefully it won't break down. You got to be careful swinging a lot of 46 to 48 inch drivers full bore. You know, something's going to go on that single sided move, but I'm sure he's around good experts. And look, he's only won 7 times. Let's not act like he's won 70 times. Let's not act like he wins every tournament by 20. He's just finding a way to mark his name in the game and one day become a Hall of Fame player.
Well, he's well on his way. There's no doubt about that. And he, he's, you know, going back to his college days at SMU, a lot of people said, well, he jumped out on tour. I've heard people say this, that just, I call them bridges full of dumb at whatever, because they don't know why he left SMU. When the young man wins the NCAA championship and then can't come back the next year and compete for it because of the sanctions that were so ridiculously placed on SMU by the NCAA.
Right.
Bryson,
right.
He's a good person. And he saw that, you said it, and I was going to bring this up too, Art. When he walked out after signing his card, and all of a sudden his parents are on that big screen and they say hi, the tears just started. That tells you
sure
his heart right there.
He's a human being.
Yeah.
He's a human being. He's just intense and wired different. Why do we want to grade somebody who's just different? And again, it hits home for me because I'm a father of a son that has Asperger's, and the reactions and the way he's affected by the world is so different than it is for me or you or Tim. People are different. Why do we want to just ostracize these people and demean these people because they're not cookie cutter guys? They're like, well, he's weird, I don't like him.
Yeah.
And his mind, so, did you see how meticulous he took the drop when it was by that sprinkler head?
Yes.
He just wants to
just wanted it to be perfect.
Rules to be exactly. He is a perfectionist. He sees it, and it's healthy for the game. And he's a good skate. I just don't think he's getting the rap that he should get. It's not right.
Well, I relate this back to my background, which was music, of course. But, you know, Mozart was a weirdo. Okay. Wagner was a weirdo. Hell, in painting, Picasso was a weirdo. At least everybody called them that. They weren't. They were geniuses is what they were. And that's
exactly
what Bryson
right.
DeChambeau is. He's a genius. There's no doubt. In my mind.
Yeah. I told Tim, he went out to Cobra about 5 years ago to work on the single length stuff. What tour player goes out there with engineers and basically rivals these engineers and teaches these engineers to come up with the single length system that he had worked with David Edel to modify it and get it right? He went to Cobra for 10 days. Who does that? You know, I was with Matt Gilchrist, and I said, Matt, why are you hitting this driver? Because the tour rep told me to. I said, well, it couldn't be a worse fit. A worse fit. And I quickly fit him and found him 15 yards just in the club, you know. And they don't – some people don't want to study this stuff. Hey, he just told me to hit it, so I hit it. Okay, well, that's great, but it's wrong. And Bryson's just never going to be that way. I remember right before the Masters a year and a half ago, the Cobra truck, the big 18-wheeler, was in the parking lot at Dallas National. And I drove up and I go, what is going on here? Are they doing some sort of demo day for the members? I never see anything like it. No, that truck and 5 techs were there for Bryson. And it was a science lab inside Como's studio like I had never seen. I'd never seen that much equipment, the gear system on. I'd never seen anything like it. It was a laboratory. Awesome.
Say, Art, you have Selinger's Power Golf there in Dallas, and you teach and instruct and advise a lot of major league ball players in this game. But a 15, 16 handicap wants to get some power. Can he come to your place, and can you help him?
That's our number one person right there. I had
the
Carroll member, a good friend last night, who was hitting the golf ball 211 yards in the air, and he left hitting it 230 by equipment with a little bit of technique change, but mainly equipment.
See you next
optimizing
week.
Equipment. Yes, we do it all day, every day. We find yards that are laying on, people are leaving a lot of food on the table. Now, again, you got to have somewhat of a consistent, you know, striking ability. But yes, there's yards to be had out there all day long.
Well, Art, you're on your way to the Texas Senior Amateur. Is that correct, in Waco?
My first amateur golf tournament since my sophomore year in college. I got my amateur status back, so I'm anxious to see who shows up and what goes on, because it's not club golf. So I'll learn a lot. I entered about 8 tournaments for the fall and into December, and I'm anxious to see how I perform under pressure like this, what kind of scores I can shoot. And tournament golf and regular golf are the difference between black and white. They are not relative. Hitting a golf ball on the range has nothing, and I say nothing, to do with putting it in the hole when it matters. It's a way to groove your swing, but it's not anything to do with golf. So I'm anxious. I'm excited. I'm fortunate I can do it. And I hope the right guy shows up with the right brain.
I would love to be there, Tim. I know you would too. Just to watch some of the participants in this when Art gets up there and hits his first drive. They're like, uh-oh.
Oh, I'm gonna be. Listen, uh-oh. I'm going. I was hitting it last night. I was flying it about in my net on my monitor. I can fly it 305 to 310. At 55 years old and broken down, that's not bad, but I'm going to be a little – I'm not as aggressive. I don't trust what Bryson trusts. I'm a little afraid of a foul ball. So you might see a hybrid a little bit more than you see Bryson hit a hybrid. I'll promise you. I'm going to be a little more careful.
Well, good luck.
You're going to play three rounds, right? Yeah, you're going to play three rounds. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll be two rounds with a cut, and some great amateur players that have a whole hell of a lot more experience than I do. So I'll get my feet wet. It's the first go. I've been targeting this since I filled out my application for reinstatement, and I'm going to be playing the South Carolina State Am. There's the National 4 Ball. There's the Dixie Am in Florida. I'm looking forward to this. Then I get to compete at my age and test my skill and see how I perform. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to Art being my guest and my club's member guest here at Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club in Nashville.
You're just going to sneak him in there?
Yeah. I mean, it's my buddy John.
Get your
John
handicap
Seller.
Up. And
John Seller.
Just give me an 8 handicap. I'll be good, Frankie. No problem.
You got it. And I'll be a non-member the next day, too. Guarantee you. They'll throw me out.
Well, Art, best of luck to you personally this weekend at your first tournament, and continued success with your power and Selinger's Power Golf and all the advice you're giving all these great golfers. I think it's wonderful that you have a chance to work with them. Obviously, I've been around you and been friends with you for decades, and you can help almost anybody virtually, and whether it's a 50 handicap or a tour guy, and I know you have a lot of fun doing it, and now you're going to have fun getting out there playing too. So have a great a weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon. You give us the play-by-play of how you win this Texas Senior Amateur. Okay,
well, I will try. My next project is Project Tim Matthews Chipping, and that will start happening shortly. I'm going to fix that chipping of yours.
Oh, I can't wait. We get a new
I will do it. But thank
working.
You, boys. Y'all be good. All right. And we'll see what happens down here. Nothing bounces like a ball. Let's see what happens.
Travel safe, my friend.
All right, Art.
Take care. See ya.
Thank you very much. Art Selinger, 2-time world long drive champion. And and for my money, and again, I've known Art for 40 years, 30 years, and knows more about the game of golf. Not just long driving. He breaks down almost like DeChambeau. He really, and he's a mind guy.
Yeah, he is.
What I've done with him before, Frank, which is fun, is he'll pull out receipts, right? We'll be at the World Long Drive Championship, and he'll have receipts from the pro shop, right, where people are buying shirts and balls and whatever. He'll take the receipts, stack of 20 of them, and as he pulls them, as quick as I'm saying it to you right now, he'll pull a receipt and add it up and give you a total at the end, and he's always right. Like, he'll go $143.98. The next one is $63.42. That's $265. And he goes like, and he goes bam, 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 bam. Yeah. Puts down 10 receipts, and at the end goes, it's $2,100.46. And you're like, what? And you add them up with a calculator, and he's right on, just doing it in his mind. He's very, very sharp. Not again, maybe DeChambeau, but He knows what he's talking about.
Well, when you get your lumber, you know, all cut for the winter and out of your backyard and everything cleaned up. Yes. I'm going to come over and hang out, and we're going to go, and I'm going to work with Art too, because I need some distance at my age. I'm sure I'm leaving crap on the table here the way I'm swinging.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. That's what I'm saying. He could take, and I'm not, I have no idea, but let's say you hit your normal drive is 230 yards. He can, and I'm not, he's not going to make you go 320, but he could, I would almost guarantee it that within, as he just said, within a day, he's going to give you 15 yards or so of just working with you, a little change in your grip, some stance. It's not just the club. It's not just the equipment. He'll figure it out. He'll look. He'll see what you're doing. He knows the swing. He knows the angles. He knows you got to tee the ball. What he did with Webb was fairly simple. He told me, he said, I started with teeing the ball up higher. He goes, he was teeing the ball a good half inch too low. I told him, tee it up higher. Get bigger tees if you need to. And he said that on its own, he started hitting it about 6 yards further just because he put it up a little bit higher on the tee. He got 6 yards just for doing that. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Hitting
some
up
of the
on
fixes
it, yeah.
are fairly simple.
Well,
yeah,
here's one question, and we'll, for our listeners and for you too. When you take a wedge, for instance, any club, but just take a wedge, set up to the wedge like you're going to chip the ball, and start your backswing and stop at belt height, stop at waist height. Where is that club face? And that's something I was doing
down.
That was – it's supposed to be down. Yeah. I looked over, and mine was – my tip was up in the air. I was flaring my hands open, which causes – if you're not if you get it too much, you're going to start shanking. And that's exactly what I was doing. And Dave Harner up at French
It's a bad habit, like a lot of people pick up. And Steve Johnson worked on with me with that, and he did the exact same thing. He said, take it back here. Where's your club? Look what you're doing. Look how you got to roll your wrist over. You got, and he got me working on that, and that's still a work in progress. Art, here's what I came up with, Frank. I said, you know, DeChambeau's got those big, thick shafts. Yeah, that's right, he does. He goes fat shafts, and you can't help but notice him how he fit in his hand. They're just so big. He says, I said to Art, I go, what if I got my wedge that I can't hit? I get my hips going, and I'm just. I said, but I got to change something. Why don't I get a really jumbo grip on it? And he goes, that's a great idea. Let's do that. So he says, I'm going to get you a club. I think the club that's right. And he brought up the one. I think he said it was a Cleveland something, something, something. He goes, I think that's the wedge you need. It's got a different bounce. It's got blah. And we're going to put a jumbo grip on there. And we're going to go, just like you just said, we're going to go, when he gets back next week, work on my chipping. It's still in my head. I get that. I mean, there's something in my head that tells me, flip my wrist. And I don't need to, but something. So
I was flaring mine out on the backswing, flaring it wide open, and just And that comes. What my instructor last week, Dave Harner, told me. That comes from I'm playing so much golf, and I have been lately, that I'm not turning. I'm stiff, so I'm compensating by not turning all the way and just trying to get the. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain it, but I'm compensating for not turning, and I'm flaring those hands open to try to flip them, and boy, that just doesn't work. But I started that with my driver, with every club in the bag, just consciously looking at it. And if you watch Justin Rose, he does it every time with every club. Have you noticed that? He brings it to waist height, stops, and he looks at that club face to see where it is. So if the pros do that, I mean.
Why not? Yeah, we all pick up bad habits. You know, you might have had your good the swing different if you looked at it 2 years ago, and now you're going, how did I get that swing? I never used to do that. That's what we do. Hey, by the way, we were talking about DeChambeau, obviously, earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that when Art was talking about how precise he was with the drop, remember how we even asked the marshal there, the rules marshal, can I mark my ball with the tee? Yes. Can I now bend that tee down to the ground so it's not? And I think his thinking was, if in some case I drop it and it ricochets off that tee, is it going to affect me? But if I lay the tee down almost on the ground, it's not going to have a chance to ricochet. Like, I really think he was thinking that most people just put the tee on the ground.
I think you're right.
You drop the ball, you do whatever. I think he wanted to lay the tee down where the guy said, well, yeah, it still counts. It's still a mark. That's what you need. But he thought if it's not standing straight up, it might somehow affect my ball drop. I'm like, who thinks of that stuff? I'm sure the marshal was like almost going to get through. Get through the book and go.
Sucks.
Let me thumb through this and see me. I don't know. Like, I'm sure he's going to say, I've never been asked that in my life. So, Yes, I think you can. I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that one. That's what DeChambeau does.
Well, it's, you know, the demons are worked out. The demons are worked out on the range. DeChambeau proves that, and all the other pros prove that. So just for all of our listeners, we talk a lot of golf. We're not the players that those guys are whatsoever. But I've learned so much over the years of this show from all the great guests that we've had on, all the instructors and the professionals, about all these little tips that – Why don't we just write down two or three swing thoughts so we're not running them through our head and just kind of flash them before a round and flash them at the turn into your head.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
I'm a big proponent of not a lot of instruction because I think the people that are constantly, you know,
changing.
If you're a decent golfer, and let's just say if you're 15 or under and you can play all right and, you break 90 and you do it, I don't think the constant tinkering, have another guy look at this and change my grip and then I got to get new clubs and do it. I think that that's a never-ending cycle that you're in. I think if you can improve a bit, if you're, you know, a 40, 50, 60-year-old player and you are what you are, yes, if you had the time and played every day and every day, you could get better. Let's assume that's not the case. The constant tinkering, changing my grip, doing these, and I say in a constant sense, not a couple of times or every now and then, I don't think it helps. I think it just gets your mind so cluttered with so many different swing thoughts when the simplest is the best.
Just
whatever you swing like, as Art was saying, if you're Matthew Wolf, nobody taught him that thing.
No.
Nobody said, oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what I said. Yes, bring that club up and just whip it around. Yeah, nobody, but that's what gets it fine.
It works for him.
So don't, because if he took a lesson, you don't think a pro's going to go, whoa, kid, wait a minute.
You got to change this. This is horrible.
First thing he's going to do is say, you can't take that plane. You got to get that back over. Yeah, that's what he's going to say. So, play your game. You know, I mean, hit what
swing
you can.
Your swing.
I think Art's great. Yeah, Art's great at saying, hey, Frank, here's your swing. I get it. Here's what I think. You can do this, this, and this, and you can add 12, 15 yards without a drastic change in your swing. That's what I'm talking about. That's fine. Do that kind of stuff.
That's all I want. I'm too old to change.
It's no fun to start all over again, right?
Yeah. And
to what point? I mean, you suddenly are going to, like, join a tour or something?
right.
One of the things,
I'm getting, we're way off of U.S. Open and Bryson DeChambeau, but one other thing I just want to bring up is
it's what we do.
At you know, Club Corp, thank you so much, clubcorp.com, wonderful sponsor. Go to clubcorp.com and check them out. And play there. You can play in either clubs. Okay, so you go to your country club, for instance, and the everyday boys or the noon group or whatever. So you're playing with those groups. A lot of these guys get really serious about playing it down and, you know, the time it takes to look for a ball and every little aspect of it. Go enjoy the damn game. Go have fun.
Yeah.
You're not playing tournament golf every day. Tournament golf's tough. It'll wear you out. So, you know.
I think what happens, Frank, is different than, like, if you happen to like basketball, you know, at whatever age, and you play with, you know, guys your own age at the Y or something.
Yeah.
You're not looking to, like, suddenly dunk. You're not looking to score 50. You're not going to join some senior basketball league or something. You're just going to have fun. But somehow golfers, because you can realistically play a little bit better as you get a bit older, I think people keep this unrealistic mentality. It still should be about fun. Whether it's playing soccer with your buddies or bowling or whatever it is you do with your friends. Do it and have fun doing it and have a beer afterwards. So many people just get so wound up in what they're doing. And I've got a friend that's like that who's 45 years old. He is constantly new clubs, I'm going, do you have any fun doing this? It's like, and he kind of looks at you like, well, I don't know. Is it supposed to be fun? It's supposed to be fun.
It's a game.
Why are you constantly doing all these things to try to, you know, instead of shooting 79, you want to shoot 77?
Yeah, okay. And playing the ball down is one thing. If you're an amateur and you're a 15-plus handicap, whatever, roll the ball, for heaven's sakes, in the fairway. I mean, if you're just playing a friendly game, I mean, just get yourself a good lie. Because a lot of the public courses out there, and you know, they're not – if you look at a PGA Tour course, and our listeners know this. We have educated listeners. Those fairways are plush, and the ball sits up, and you don't really get a bad lie unless you're in a divot on a PGA Tour event. So
–
why would you go out and play it off the hard pan in the middle of the fairway? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to chip with a K grind off of hard pan around a green?
Yeah. No. So
and you lay the sod over it, you blade it, and it hits three cars on the street next to you. I mean, that's, nobody wants to do that.
I've done that. Just find
a nice place to play it because you'll have fun. I get it if you're playing for a few bucks and people don't want it, you know, then okay, you all play by the same rules, but just have some fun with it. You know, I mean, the game's supposed to be fun. Bobby Jones would be the first one to tell you if he came back from the grave that he started playing the game and enjoyed the game because he was having fun playing it. And he got, what, he quit playing at what, 30, 31?
Yeah,
became a,
right
you
there.
Know, went to law school or became, yeah. went to the law
Georgia
practice.
Georgia Tech,
and stopped
engineering,
playing.
Harvard Law
yeah,
School.
It's like,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. it's not the end of, you know, you play, you have fun, and then you move on.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Anyway, that's our little lecture there
well,
for you. So.
Okay, well, that's a good lecture,
right.
and that's probably a good outro. As a matter of fact, because
yeah, probably is.
It's
probably
time
is.
To at least go practice a little bit between rain showers.
I got to go get some new clubs. I got to do everything. Just
hey,
what
hey,
I just said, I'm not going to do.
The ones you're playing right now are for me. You save them for me.
Perfect. Perfect.
Get new ones.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening. As Frank mentioned just a bit ago, thanks to Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com and find a club near you. Over 250 clubs all over the country. And when you join one, you have benefits at all of those different clubs all over the country. You're really going to enjoy it. So clubcorp.com is the place to go to find out more. Thank you to Art Sellinger for being with us. And check out his website. It's sellingerspowergolf.com to find out more about clubs and club fitting. And certainly if you're in the Dallas area, he can help you with that. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.